Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there and welcome to another Arscast right here on arsblog.olayolay.com. It is the very first Arscast of 2010, a year in which we hope much success will come to Arsenal Football Club, silverware and trophies and jumping around and gloating, the gloating. That's what we've all missed more than anything. I know that people say, I so want Arsenal to win silverware, but you want them to win silverware, not just for the joy of winning silverware, but because you can gloat at other people and go, we are the champions. So, for gloating, let's hope it's a very good year. On the way on this Arscast, what have we got? John Cross from the Mirror will be joining me in a little while to talk about all things Arsenal and what it's like to cover Arsenal as a journalist. Some interesting stuff on the way, I'm sure. As well as that, Andre Arshavin is here. We've got Talk Shite Radio, kinda, and that's really about it. It is the start of a new year. You would think I'd be better prepared. No. Not really. I hope wherever you are at the moment, it's warmer than it is here in Dublin because it's freezing. I'm going to look at my weather widget at the moment. -4. As I'm recording this, that's no good. Nobody needs -4. And obviously the weather has played a part this week because the Arsenal game was cancelled on Wednesday because of the weather in London. And, you know, a bit of snow, which isn't much compared to other countries who cope with it an awful lot better. Of course, Ireland, and being Ireland, we can't cope with much weather either way, whether it's good or bad. In the summer, if we get 2 or 3 days of hot weather, and it does happen from time to time, you hear these ads on the radio going, please conserve water. Water is precious. Don't water your lawn. Don't wash your car. You're thinking, this is a country where it rains 340 days a year. How the fuck do we not have any water? Just build a big, what are those things? Reservoir is not the word, but maybe we just need to build a series of giant basins around the country to catch the rain when it falls. And as it is at the moment, it's freezing. We've had a little bit of snow and basically, the country's ground to a halt. Well, mostly because they don't have any grit for the roads, so everyone's either driving into lampposts, or if you're trying to walk on the pavement, it's freezing and it's solid ice, or you're falling over and cracking skulls and stuff, so it's pretty terrible. So I hope wherever you are, it's better weather than it is here. Yeah. I'm telling you, the equator is where it's at right at the moment. Since the last Arscast, which was our end of decade Arscast, the round table thing, and we all chose our team of the decade, and there was a little bit of talk about what was coming up. Portsmouth, that was our final game of 2009. Might have been a difficult one, but they're a club in such disarray that we were able to cope without so many injured players. 4-1 win. It's so long ago now, I can't even remember who scored all the goals. Eduardo got that deflected free kick, and then the second one was Nasri, wasn't it? Yeah, and then Ramsey scored that good goal, and then they scored a goal, and then Alex Song got a goal. And he deserved that goal, you have to say. So a good win. And then, of course, there was the FA Cup game, where people were saying he's going to rest this player and that player and this player and that player. But, you know, when you don't have very many players who are actually fit, it becomes quite difficult to actually rest them. 1-0 down at half-time to West Ham. We went on to win it 2-1. See, I remember. Eduardo and Ramsey with the goals. And, you know, good to see Eduardo starting to get on a little bit of a run. His form has been a bit worrying, but 3 goals in his last 4 games. You know, a little bit lucky, I suppose, with the free kick against Portsmouth, the deflection, and then the goal against Hull, wasn't it? From about a yard, and he nearly missed it. So, the header against West Ham was absolutely fantastic. A proper striker's goal, and I think that will do him an awful lot of good. Aaron Ramsey showing he's got what it takes. Still struggling maybe a little bit for consistency, but that's normal. But showing he's a really good player, and 2 fantastic goals with his left foot, which is not his good foot. That's his chocolate leg, his version of Robin Van Persie's chocolate leg. Of course, in midweek, we would have had the chance to go to within a point of Chelsea, but the game was called off because of the weather, which is unusual, but as we spoke about, lots of snow around London, snow and ice, and it was probably more for health and safety reasons than anything else. The pitch was probably fine. They probably had the orange ball out. No problem at all, but it's people slipping and sliding on the way in and out of the stadium and going to get their halftime pie and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have to reschedule that game. But anyway, to talk a little bit more about the Bolton game and all the bits and pieces that are going on at the moment, I'm pleased to welcome to the Arsecast for the first time, John Cross from The Mirror. Hi, John.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Right, well, we'll start by talking about the Bolton game. Obviously, there was a disappointment that it was called off. Arsene Wenger, I'm sure, was looking forward to the opportunity of getting to within one point of Chelsea. It adds to the fixture congestion now. And, of course, the other factor is that by the time Arsenal play Bolton, and maybe twice in a couple of days, they'll have a new manager, and that always has an effect on the players who are always looking to do a bit more. So maybe it might have been better to get at least one game against Bolton out of the way when they were struggling a bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I always think that a new manager inevitably sort of really lifts a group of players. They're eager to impress, eager to sort of show the manager what they can do. And I think it would have been a great opportunity for Arsenal to play a team, you know, in the middle of a really rough patch, to be honest, and without a manager, slightly in limbo, wondering what's around the corner. And I think Arsenal could have taken full advantage of that and really taken them 3 points, which, of course, would have taken them to within, you know, 1 point of Chelsea, which would have been absolutely fantastic. I think also the knock-on effect, really, for Arsenal, and the problem is that when the game is rearranged, I think Arsenal perhaps look to do that the week after next, could end up with Arsenal playing Bolton twice in the space of just 3 or 4 days. And I think, you know, if you think about it, if Arsenal have to go to the Reebok on the 17th and then entertain them again a few days later, the last possible thing that a new manager, Owen Coyle, will want is to lose twice back-to-back games, you know, to the same team. Because otherwise, you know, what does that say for his management skills? You know, if he was to lose the first one, not be able to lift and make a difference for the second one. And so I think, you know, I think that's a real shame for Arsenal, a wasted opportunity, because I feel sure with the confidence and the players' belief at the moment, you know, they would have taken full advantage. But now, you know, it's really going to be very difficult, I think, to take both victories out of those two games.
Is there maybe, because we know the type of football Owen Coyle likes his teams to play, which is, we have to say, rather at odds with the kind of football that Bolton have played down through the last few seasons. Is there maybe the chance then that Coyle won't necessarily know his players well enough to go out and play that type of football? If he does go out with an attacking approach, then it might backfire, or is he going to maybe just sit back and go defensive, you know, until he gets to know his players a bit better?
Well, I always think the most effective way for a manager to make a difference, I think, particularly if his team's in trouble, I think people have done it down the years, really, is the first and foremost to shore up the defence and make sure that your team's not going to be beaten. I think Owen Coyle definitely plays a certain way, you know, and he wants his team to be footballers. I mean, I think that explains, you know, why Arsene Wenger was interested in loaning Burnley and specifically Owen Coyle and Jack Wilshere, because he wants his, you know, his players to be loaned out and develop playing a certain type of football, and Burnley's sort of style of football would have suited, you know, Wilshere, certainly. I think what you've got to remember is that, you know, Bolton, with no disrespect to them, or showing, obviously going on to show huge disrespect, but I think they've got a certain group of players who are really effective at what they do. I think Kevin Davies is one of the most underrated and undervalued players in the Premier League. I think he should have been given an England call-up ages ago, in my view, because he's just such a good player and good asset at what he does. And, you know, he's very direct. He thrives on that. I think when Sammy Lee, if you remember, when he had a brief stint at Bolton, he came in and wanted to make changes very, very quickly. It didn't work for him, and he tried to make those changes too quickly. And I think that's one thing that Owen Coyle perhaps will be aware of. And perhaps, you know, I don't know, it might have a knock-on effect, really, for Arsenal, that Owen Coyle, if he's shrewd, probably just the first and foremost thing he'll do is shore up that defence.
All right, and the congestion, or the fixture congestion, there's plenty of football anyway, regardless of the postponement, but is it maybe a chance ahead of the Everton game, which is going to be a tricky game as well, because Everton are finding a little bit of form at last, a chance for players to get closer to fitness? We know that Arshavin and Danielson were going to play on Wednesday night, but, you know, they've been carrying injuries, so maybe there's a positive there from Arsenal's point of view that these guys might get a little bit fitter.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that Cesc Fabregas obviously is going to be out of Everton, still a way away. That gives him a nice long break, to be honest, and the sort of break that I think he's been looking for all season, because I think he's been carrying his hamstring injury, really, in my opinion, since the summer. I think it was an injury that troubled him even before the first game of the season. He could have easily missed Everton away, you know, way back in August. And I think that's been a problem for him. I think Arshavin wants to play in every game. I think he's just got a wonderful, irrepressible attitude, and I think that's great. But again, sometimes it's easier for a player to be told, we can't play because the game's off, you know. But I think if it were a league game at West Ham last Sunday, I think he would have wanted to play in that. Yeah. I think Danielson is struggling with a back injury. Back injury, which is just a niggle from playing too many games, I think, and perhaps needing a rest. He's going to be so crucial now, isn't he, without Alex Song at the African Nations. So I think that is most definitely the upside, that a few players can take a break.
Arsenal, I mean, like we said, the game against Bolton could have seen Arsenal go to within a point of Chelsea. Are you surprised at the way things have turned around, not just from an Arsenal point of view, because after the Chelsea game, everyone was quite negative. And now, you know, we haven't had that chance to go within a point of them. But are you surprised not only at how Arsenal have gone through December and the results that they've got, but also the way maybe Chelsea have fallen away? Arsene Wenger said he expected Chelsea to drop points, but I'm not sure too many other people shared that view.
No, I would have thought after that game at the Emirates, I was really worried about Arsenal's fortunes this season, because there can be no doubt that Arsenal were really second best. I think that, you know, they were exposed defensively. I think Arsene Wenger, you know, while I love him to bits, showed a ridiculous kind of, you know, outlook on Didier Drogba, saying that he really didn't do very much in the game, you know, quite apart from scoring two goals and bullying his defence to pieces. And I wondered, you know, quite what this season would bring, you know, for Arsenal. I think the way that Arsene Wenger has rallied his troops is absolutely exceptional and says so much for the players' belief in him and his motivational skills. I think looking at Chelsea, I think that their biggest problem is their defence. That's why they're dropping points, and I'm sure that's what Arsene Wenger has seen. I don't think Arsenal had the strength up front, particularly Eduardo, looking really sort of, you know, very short that day. Had the muscle and the physical power to strengthen, sorry, to threaten their defence. And I think John Terry is a must in the Chelsea team, but I think Carvalho has seen better days. I don't think Alex is a top-class defender. And I think, you know, that weakness in the central defensive area is the reason why Petr Cech is getting exposed and, as a result, is lacking confidence. So I think, you know, also I think teams pressing for the top four places makes it such a competitive league, and I think that's why teams are dropping so many points. And I think Arsenal have gone through a fantastic run. I think that was topped off by the win against Aston Villa, which was a sensational result for them. And I really do think that they're in the title mix.
Having got it back into it now, we're in January, and of course there's a lot of talk about transfers. Arsene Wenger is talking about a striker in the absence of Van Persie and the, I suppose, the mystery, or not the mystery, but not knowing quite how long Nicholas Bentner is going to be out. With the right purchases, there's no reason why Arsenal can't stay competitive in this league. But from a fan's point of view, I think, you know, we might look at the defence. Arsenal fans will look at the defence and think that's an area as well that might be open for a purchase. Do you think he's looking only at strikers, or has he got his eyes elsewhere?
No, I think he'll do something with the defence. I think Senderos is a real issue because I'm a big Senderos defender, really. I've not always been that, but I think Arsenal were very close. Sorry, I don't want to get into a row, Andrew, because I know you disagree with what happened, but Arsenal were really close to selling Senderos to Everton in the summer. I think it's a move Senderos wanted, and you know, went up to Everton, and I think he thought it was going to go through. I think at the last, I think Arsenal perhaps, you know, thought, well, hang on a minute, if Everton are selling Lescott for 23 million, can we really justify selling Senderos for 3 million? We want 4. And, you know, the price and the goalpost changed somewhat, I think. And I think it was a big mistake, because it's clear that Wenger has made up his mind about Senderos. I think that's been a bit harsh, because I still think he can do a job in the Premier League. But I think it's just an absolute waste of time to keep Senderos hanging around. He's unhappy. I think, you know, he's a passionate player. But I think Arsenal will try to move him on in January. And if they do that, then I think they've got one or two irons in the fire about central defensive cover. I mean, de jure, you know, is still some distance away. So that's an issue. Sylvester is kind of the emergency backup left-sided, you know, central defender. I just think the sooner the better, really, we know about Senderos, and then we can look at other things. And I think that really is an area that needs strengthening, because, you know, the chances are Gallas and Vermaelen cannot play every single league game. It's just unthinkable. And so I think either one or both of them will have injuries at some stage. And I think if Arsenal are going to carry through the title challenge, they need to address that issue.
And that's not even taking into account Champions League and FA Cup games, you know, which I was surprised that Gallas and Vermaelen started in the FA Cup game against West Ham. But I mean, I think that probably says as much about the lack of options that he has at the moment.
Yeah, no, well, absolutely. I think that was key. It was kind of my understanding that Senderos was definitely going to be penciled into play in that game. And he'd just come back from an injury. I think looking at it from his point of view, being sympathetic to him, if he played in that game when not absolutely 100% fit and got an injury, bearing in mind Switzerland was at the World Cup, he's desperate for football, to get himself into the World Cup squad. If he got injured in that game, that had jeopardised the move in January. Not only would he kind of be stuck at Arsenal for the rest of the season, but he actually missed out on the World Cup. I really like Senderos. I think Senderos, you know, unfortunately had a bad time towards the end of his career. And I think Senderos, there is an element of Senderos saying to Arsenal Wenger, I'm not sure really whether I'm in the right frame of mind to play at West Ham. Before you kind of dismiss that, do remember that. You know, this is a guy who's always given his all for Arsenal, I think. You know, sometimes his ability is lacking, but I think he can do a really good job in the Premier League as just a straight up and down stopper. And I think, you know, I think I remember the Champions League game at Anfield when he broke down in the dressing room with tears afterwards. That shows, rather than negative, it shows how much he cares for maybe about the club. And I think, you know, if only we could do with a few more players who really cared about the club and Arsenal in the future, that would be a great thing.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan, I have to say, of Senderos. I get flagged off about it quite a lot, but I like him as a player, and I think, you know, he's at the sort of age where he's going to improve, and it's a shame the way his Arsenal career is ending. Strikers, there are all kinds of names going around. We can come to those in just a moment, because I just want to talk to you briefly, if I can, about, as a journalist, as someone that covers Arsenal a lot for the Mirror, and I know you do other clubs too, but like many others, we've got access to the TV press conferences, which is for radio and for TV stations and what have you. It only occurred to me the other day that, you know, the stuff that appears in the papers then is very different, or can be different, or there's extra stuff, you know, and there's a separate sort of a briefing for the press guys. So from going through a normal match week with a match on a Saturday, what's it like to go and cover Arsenal? You go to the training ground, they give you beef Wellington, nice bottle of wine, and you know, so between the pre-game press conference and the match itself and the post-game sort of briefing, what's it like to cover Arsenal, and how does it work?
Well, the beef Wellington only comes on a match day at the Emirates, when I must say the food and drink is sensational. Absolutely, you wonder why Arsenal never get criticised, you know. But in the media, that explains it. I'm sure that a lot of fans will be saying, "Oh, the press are always negative against Arsenal." I don't think that's the case. I think we've got so much respect for Arsenal Wenger and Arsenal, because they are such a good club to cover. If you're polite to someone, I always think that, you know, it's so hard to criticise them. And your first instinct will be to be polite back, and I think that works with journalists. And I think, you know, for example, previewing the Everton game, there's a press conference on the Friday, We go to the training ground. There's a kind of an almost an outbuilding, if you like, away from the actual training ground complex, which is near the training ground pitches, but just a short walk away. As you say, you know, a couple of years ago, the system kind of changed for one reason or another, partly to our liking and a lot to do with the club's liking. But basically, there's an all-in-one press conference, if you like, which is covered then by agency reporters such as sort of press association people and writers, but also for TV, Sky Sports and BBC, and then also BBC Five Live. And you know, Arsenal TV, of course, which is where, you know, you can see it. That's where, you know, the majority of the questions are put to Arsene Wenger, and that's what you can see on the website. After that happens, we're lucky enough and we're given the sort of the luxury of then a sort of a kind of private briefing, if you like, for the daily newspapers. Where we see Arsene Wenger in another small room. There's generally about between six and eight journalists.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Who sit in on that press conference with a press officer there as well. And it's just nice that you can go away and sit with a man like Arsene Wenger and have a bit of a chat, have a bit of banter. I think I wrote something over the Christmas period, what it was like to cover them. He's warm. He's really a funny guy. He's got lots of humour. I've been covering them now for more than 10 years. And, you know, we can have a laugh and have a bit of a giggle. And, you know, sometimes we'll upset him. Sometimes we'll annoy him with things we write. But, you know, he's so polite and he's so, you know, convivial to us, really. I mean, just for example, the other day, talking about strikers, having done the broadcast interview, we broke away and then sort of did our sort of private briefing. Now, in the meantime, I'd been asked by our website, Mirror Football, to kind of compile a list of potential striker targets. So I'd written them down on my notepad, and in my sort of cheeky, silly, chappy sort of way, went to sit down. Something occurred to me. I've got the Arsenal manager to my immediate right, and here's my list on my notebook. And in true, you know, kind of crossy fashion, just sort of saying to him, Arsene, actually, this, I've got something here that maybe you can help me with. You know, have a look at these names. You know, who do you like? You know, which he found highly amusing. You know, I think, you know, I'm not being the right great state secret here, but Ruud van Nistelrooy was one of the names who I think that they've certainly been offered, shall we say, you know, on a short-term loan, which he found very amusing indeed. Didn't dismiss it, and But it's you know, it's just that nice piece of banter, really. And then often, because I think the broadcast goes from sort of, you know, from one side of the room to the other, we try and build up a sort of a line of questioning, if you like, and it's a little bit more relaxed, I think, as well. And I think sometimes we get better stuff. I'm not kidding myself. Sometimes, you know, the broadcast guys get better stuff as well. And we go with that. We report that. But, you know, quite a lot of the time we're afforded this great luxury, which works well. Arsenal, incredibly good media-wise, I think. And I think that helps their reputation. They've also brought in a chief executive, Ivan Gazidis, who is... You know, from the MLS, you know, I've got to know him a bit, and he's very open, media friendly, and I think that's very good for the fans because you know what's going on. The manager, one of his first, you know, big tasks, I think, when he took over, you know, getting for 14 years ago now, was because he was so open and friendly with the media, and I think that's something that David Dean had identified as a major plus in appointing him. And I think he's just carried that on, and he's an absolute joy to cover. He really is, and I think, you know, kind of that sets him aside and sets Arsenal aside from other clubs that I cover. They're really enjoyable to work with.
All right, final question, if we will. We talked about strikers and your striker list. Do you think any of those are realistic targets? We've got this news about a 6'8" Ivorian striker who seems to tick more boxes than any of the others. Would you put any money on the names you had in your list?
Oh, I'm not a betting man, but it's a process of elimination. You know, I was kind of quite amused. You know, we have a bit of banter, don't we? That basically through Twitter, which I really enjoy, and people sort of, you know, had lots to say about the list that I put together. People kind of accusing me of just making it up, and just sort of, you know, fantasising about the names that I'd like to see there. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. It's ringing people. It's relying on contacts and getting a feel from people. You know, whether it be agents or people around the club. And also, you know, obviously putting direct questions to the manager, sometimes you're on the record, sometimes you're off the record. I think if the circumstances were right, and it's all about circumstances with these names, I think Dzeko of Wolfsburg would be his overwhelming first choice.
Right.
But we're living in the real world. Arsenal do not spend £20 on a striker. It simply doesn't happen. And I think that's what Wolfsburg were asking in the summer. Arsenal will do well to barter them down. Although I am told, even though he set his heart on Milan in the summer, that he's coming round to perhaps, you know, an English agent looking after him. You know, coming over to the Premier League is a possibility, but I think he's out of Arsenal's price range. He'd be the first choice. Carlton Cole is someone that he really likes. You know, there's no getting away from that. I think the big minus point about Carlton Cole is he seems to have a knee problem, and I think that is a major off-put for Arsenal. I think that's a real worry. I mean, look, you've got to look at this realistically. Why are Arsenal looking in the market for a striker? Because they've got injury problems, and that, you know, those, you know, they need a striker now to push them across the line. I think they're nearly there. If they sign the right striker, they can win the title, make no mistake. But I think from going from injury ravaged squad to signing another injury-plagued striker is a worry. That's the minus against Carlton Cole. I think the one that, you know, that perhaps the French are championing a little bit is Gignac at Toulouse. He's powerful, he's strong, and I think he's, you know, perhaps not done as well as last season, but has got undoubted ability. When I say he's not done as well as last season, that perhaps opens the door for a cheaper price, which would suit. I think Chamakh may well go to Liverpool. So, look, Arsenal in a situation where I think they were counting on Chamakh in the summer, know that we're probably going to miss out on him, not definitely. So rather than wait from the summer for a big buy, why not make it now? So I think that's what's tempting them. Arsene Wenger has got a great record in January, absolutely sensational record, you know, buying players. And I think that can work for them again. I think the loan issue is another thing to look at. There's a few players knocking around who are available on loan. Replenished, or I don't think it will happen, but I think a few agents are trying to put a few players around, so that could be interesting. But I do actually think Arsenal will buy a striker in January. They pushed the boat out for Arshavin last year. There's money available, and I think Arsene Wenger knows that if he buys a striker, they're real contenders.
All right, John, we better leave it there. Thank you very much. Really interesting stuff, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it. Let's hope for it. Good thing for the rest of the season.
My thanks to John Cross from The Mirror. Of course, you can read his stuff in... yes, it's The Mirror. He does normal stuff day to day, and of course, a column every Thursday. And if you'd like to follow John on Twitter, if you're a Twitter person, his username is John Cross Mirror. So not too difficult at all. That's twitter.com/John Cross Mirror. Still to come, we'll be looking ahead to the Everton game. We've got Talkshite Radio, kinda. Right now, Andre Arshavin on the Bolton game.
Hello, I am Andre Arshavin, and I am very disappointing that the game on Wednesday against Bolton is not play. I'm looking forward to football in the cold weather. In my country, of course, we have very cold weather with snow every day, and of course, the football always play, never not play when the weather is not so good as in England. This is because we have very special people who can clean away snow to make a football ground safe for everybody. So even when snow is 5 foot, we simply say to these special people, make snow clean and we can play football. I think in England you need to make these people do this. In my country, we call them women.
Andrei Arshavin. Now, we've got Everton coming up on Saturday, provided the game goes ahead, of course. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like. I'm no meteorologist or soothsayer. I don't know. I hope it's all thought out. Judging by some of the weather forecasts, it might not be. So all the issues that scuppered the game against Bolton might still be present. Bad transport and footpaths and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we'll assume it's on just for the moment. The first day of the season, we beat Everton 6-1. And we went to them at Goodison Park, and they were in a bit of a state because there was all that stuff going on with Lescott. Man City were pursuing him. They were saying, no. Lescott said, I don't want to play, and Moyes made him play, and it was all pretty terrible from their point of view. And traditionally, they start the season quite slowly. 6-1 on the day, I thought, was a fair reflection of our performance and also their performance. However, I don't think they've lost since the Liverpool game at the end of November, and they've drawn in the meantime with Spurs, drawn with Chelsea. They've had a lot of draws, actually, draws with Sunderland and Birmingham as well, although they beat Burnley in their last game. So things are, not necessarily on the way up, they're not any worse than they were at the start of the season. Well, they couldn't be much worse than that. From our point of view, team news, the only player who might be coming back is Thomas Rosicki. Arshavin and Danielson were declared fit for the Bolton game. Had we played against them, they would have played, but I think the extra couple of days rest won't have done them any harm and won't have done anybody any harm, particularly, I think, Gallison Vermaelen. After the West Ham game, we heard Arsene Wenger talk during the week about how Gallas had a bit of an injury but went and said, look, I can play against West Ham. I want to play against West Ham, and credit to him for that. So the extra couple of days isn't going to hurt anybody there. We're going to have to play well. We need Eduardo maybe to step up. Arshavin has been quite quiet, hasn't he? Apart from the Liverpool goal, he's been fairly quiet. But maybe January, the turn of a new year, he can turn over a new leaf and start scoring goals. That could be his New Year's resolution. Score a goal every game between now and the end of the season. I think that's a reasonable resolution for a £15 million player, don't you? Yes. So we've got that to look forward to this weekend, if it goes ahead, and we'll keep all our fingers crossed that it does. Right now, though, talk shite radio. Kinda.
And traffic throughout the city is entirely ghastly. I blame Boris Johnson myself. I simply don't trust any man with hair that blonde who isn't an albino. In the meantime, settle back in your car. I was nearly going to say on the bus, but of course nobody that common would be listening to us. And listen to the intelligent sports discussion here on Reverse Talkshite Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Constance, and we shall return to the newsroom within the next 30 minutes for a further update. You are listening to Reverse Talkshite Radio, the home of erudite and perspicacious football and sports discussion. A little later this hour, we'll be welcoming our special guest, Joseph Barton. A long-time student of modern poetry, he'll be telling us how the works of Seamus Heaney have shaped and influenced his career. Now, though, to discuss matters at the Emirates Stadium, we welcome Jamie Redknapp. Are we sure about Jamie Redknapp? Okay. Jamie, welcome to Reverse Talkshite Radio.
Thanks for having me. Isn't it Andy?
I have to admit I'm not sure to which Andy you're referring, so I shall continue like the professional I am. If we may begin with events at the Emirates Stadium, or dare I say it, the lack of events. Arsenal this week lost out on the opportunity to go within 1 point of league leaders Chelsea. Do you think, Jamie, that Arsenal have lost the chance to manipulate the disorder at the Lancashire club? And will Bolton's inexorable amelioration under Owen Coyle prove a fillip for their chances of taking something from these games?
What's funny is were you mentioning amelioration, because I remember watching him, I think, in the under-19s World Cup in the summer, and I thought, you know, that is a proper footballer, and, you know, there's nobody better than Arsene Wenger. He knows every player in Europe, and if he thinks that guy can come in and do a job at the defence, and let's face it, they do need a defender, with Gallas and Vermaelen playing all the games, then, yeah, if he wants to follow up his interest in him, then, yeah, I think he'd be a good player for Arsenal. Isn't it rude?
I see. I'm not sure you entirely understood the question, nor do I think you correctly grasped the concept of rude. There was nothing rude about what you said, nothing discourteous or churlish, it was merely nonsensical. Nevertheless, we shall move on, and we can talk now about Eduardo, the alluring, lithe, elegant Croatian striker, who, as we know, suffered a most hideous injury not so long ago. Since his return, he's struggled to find his best form. Are we to surmise, Jamie, that his career will hurtle towards ruination? Or is there the negligible prospect of redemption, at least on a football level?
Oh, yeah, this one I know. Eduardo, yeah, proper footballer, isn't he? He's little, he can score goals, he can run, he can not score goals. And, of course, you know, he's had that injury, and it was a terrible injury. You don't want to see anybody get that injury, because that injury is such a terrible injury. But, you know, he's come back, he's done it, he's stood there, he's come on, he's scored goals, he's turned around, and he's still called Eduardo, isn't he? And you've got to think that, you know, he's going to be called Eduardo probably for the rest of his life. Isn't he Richard?
My name is not Richard.
Richard, where are you, Richard?
My name is Sheldon
Richard, help me,
Belafonte
Richard.
III.
Louise, help
you're
me.
Listening to Reverse Torchide Radio.
What's going on.
Our
help.
Sincere thanks to Jamie Redknapp. When we return, Alex Higgins reads his favorite passage from Margaret Atwood's 2000 Man Booker Prize-winning novel, The Blind Assassin.
Isn't it Richard?
Reverse Torchide Radio. We don't just talk. We have intercourse.
More from Torchide Radio, real or reverse, on another Arsecast in the very near future. Not much else happening. There's going to be loads and loads of transfer rumours over the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. One tonight about Sol Campbell re-signing. Not sure how I feel about that. I did hint at it in the blog on Monday when I said Arsene might look closer to home. Sol has been training with us since the whole Notts County thing went tits up. But he is 35 now. He's going to be 36 very soon. Could be even 36 now, for all I know. I'm not good at telling people's ages. Nevertheless, he hasn't played a Premier League game since the end of last season for Portsmouth. And then he was, you know, Portsmouth were happy enough to let him go. Probably because of the finances thing and the wages he was on. But nevertheless, you know, he's the kind of player they could have done with at the club. And when they're paying, who is this guy they're paying? Is it Utaka, somebody like that? If he's on 80 grand a week, surely they could have kept Campbell if he was up for Premier League football. And that is a big question. He hasn't played a Premier League game for 7 or 8 months. He hasn't played any games at all for 7 or 8 months, apart from one or two games. Did he even play that many for Notts County? In League 2, which is the old Division 4, which is how we should talk about football divisions. 1, 2, 3, and 4. None of this Premiership and Championship and League 1, League 2. It makes them sound better than they are. It's Division 4. And that's the level he was prepared to play at. And maybe that says everything. But anyway, this is just rumour at this stage, but it is quite a strong rumour. It's been around a little while, so I'm not sure how I feel about that. That's probably how I feel about it. So more to come on transfer rumours, I'm sure, over the next week or two, and certainly on next week's Arsecast, there'll be all kinds of names linked with us if we haven't signed somebody by then. So keep your fingers crossed for that. Keep your fingers crossed that the game against Everton goes ahead on Saturday. I'll talk to you all week on the blog, of course, and on next week's Arsecast. Until then, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Tony here down the kit room. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I can do that. How many shorts do you want? 3. For what? Press conference. Right. How come? Oh, signings. New signings. By Arsene Wenger. 3 of them. Deadly. All right then. Okay. Yeah, 4 away there. Yeah. Give us the numbers. 32. Yeah, and the name? Campbell. Campbell. Oh, Campbell. That's not his waist size, that's for sure. All right, then, next one. 16. Yeah. Spell that for me. M-A-L-Z. Maltz. Maltz. Right, fair enough. All right, then, and last one. Oh, someone good now. What? Number 9. Ah, oh, there's the striker we've all been looking for. Brilliant. And the name? Jeffers. Right, you are. Drop them up to you in about 5 minutes.
Bollocks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.